It's time to talk about the outdoors in South Alabama. Hunting, fishing, and getting outside along the Great Gulf Coast. It's time to take it outside with FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. With reports, stories, how-to information, and Dr. Bill's Marine Forecast. Here's Sean Sullivan and Mike Ward.
And away we go, FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. Glad to have you along. Always good to see my partner, my buddy, my show host, Captain Mike Ward.
Man, I'm glad to be here this morning, Sean.
Good to have you. Has there been any since last time we talked? Did you slip out and fish any?
I have not. I'm telling you, I am having the worst year that I have ever had in my entire life. I've been twice with Mark Candy. I have not been on my boat one time. Every time there's been something going on that I haven't been able to go.
Well, it's less hours on your engines.
Oh, it is, but I want to put hours on the engines. Yeah. I'm ready to put some hours on it. So I'm going to get to go here in the next week, I'm sure.
Okay, good.
If the weather. But the weather's been bad. I mean, it's just been one thing after another. I had one of my motors in the shop. Mm-hmm. Had a problem with that, and I just had to put a new set of tires on my trailer. And I mean, it's just one thing after another, but I'm getting ready to go.
Okay, good.
I'm going for the 4th of July.
Okay, I'll go before then. I'll go trout fish before then. We'll have a report coming up on the show. So we'll talk more about that. But it seems like numbers have been all right. Some of the conversation we had with Chris Blankenship I had earlier in the week on the midday show, he had said they did have some issues that people weren't reporting the snapper check down, not just because people weren't going, but they compare it with their dockside checks. He reminds everybody, when they do that, the feds are going to tell you have to make an estimate. He said, please keep the reporting up so we don't get in a pickle on that. So,
I would like to know what the participation rate is this year compared to last year, because the weather has just been bad a lot.
Yeah.
So I don't think that there's been as many people going, and prices of gas too, a couple of things going on there. But the weather has been a real issue for a lot of people for the weekends. I mean, it's been a day here and a day there that people have been able to go. And this past week was beautiful.
Yeah, but see, there's a lot of us that have to go to work.
Yeah, me also.
Yeah, it ruins us.
So I would like to know from the Conservation Department what the participation rate is.
And if Kevin Anson's listening, or if somebody can get, we'll try to get him on the show soon to talk more about that. But, it's interesting to see how many people have gone and, that quota, if we're tracking the way we feel, we don't have the real numbers, but that quota is going to run on into the fall the way it's looking right now. I don't think we have any problem for the rodeo, which, by the way, talked to those guys the other day. Rodeo tickets on sale right now, so you can go ahead and get them. Of course, we have a big rodeo coming up before that, Roy Martin Young Anglers Tournament coming up, so that's happening. Also in news, by the time this airs, you're still good, but go ahead, if you're going to be in on a gator hunt, don't tell me you forgot.
Yeah.
OutdoorAlabama.com, click the tab, go through, put in for the zones, and then I think it's usually sometime right after Independence Day weekend, you'll find out.
Yeah.
So,
Young Angler Tournament, we're talking about that. That's only 2 weeks away. Mm-hmm. What a lot of people are not going to realize is, because the way that the month falls, the first day of July falls on a Wednesday, that's the first full weekend, so it's a second full weekend for the junior angler tournament.
Because it's always third full weekend
For the big rodeo. So it's just next in a couple weeks we're gonna have the young anglers. It's coming fast.
That's right. So duly noted. But make sure if you go to their website adsfr.org or participating locations, make sure you get your ticket spot for that and for your gator stuff. Get those put in. All right, and we'll talk more fishing next week. And this guy, he does go to Dolphin Island. I don't know how much he fishes because he's spending all his time at the shop there at G&D Farms. It's fun. Today, we got the man, the one and only, Lee Davis. And good to see you.
Hey, man. How are y'all doing? Good to be here.
Good. You get about – so he's a Dolphin Island guy for about – what do you get per week, 30 minutes to go down to Dolphin Island?
It seems like it. Yeah, we go down there Saturday evening, come home Sunday.
Yeah. See it?
Well, can I use it the rest of this hour?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Somebody needs to enjoy it.
I wound him up before we started talking, so I'd make sure he get to talking some.
It doesn't take much.
I wound him up a little bit, so we'll get a little talk out of him today.
If you ask my wife, that's usually not a problem.
No, this man stays wound up. I do want to say, before we get into all this, and we'll come back to it at the end of the show, You talking about time moving on fast? It's going to be September soon.
Be here before you know it.
It's and so remind, it's the 12th or 13th of September this year. I don't have it right in front of me.
It's the 12th, 13th, and 14th.
That's the G&D Farms Outdoor Expo.
Yeah, our third one. Yeah, we're looking forward to it.
And if people have not been before, give them, like, somebody says, what is this thing, Lee?
We try to showcase outdoor, whether it's Eddie Salter with the turkey calls or, you know, we got.
I tell you what, last year, listening to, we had Deer Talk, and the fact that y'all got, you know, the caliber of people in for the biology is, like, amazing.
It's we just think we know what we're talking about.
Yeah, when you had Bronson on, I mean, like, this guy, I blew Mike away with this guy, too. I mean, he's.
He was something. He was amazing. Just a wealth of knowledge.
And this is not, y'all, when you get to hear these kind of people that come to the expo to talk for deer hunting, it's not just set your stand up in the bottom, do the thing. Yeah, it's not that stuff.
No,
it is next level, what makes bucks move, when, how long, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, it gives you a lot of insight into what we've been doing our whole life, what we love to do.
And, but the science stuff is
cool. You don't realize what's out there, what the information that's available to help you be a better hunter.
Yep. There's like the stuff, some of the stuff that we knew, and I'm air quoting here, y'all, on the radio, some stuff we knew is confirmed by it. But when they put radio collars, that one study he was talking about, it was like 86 different bucks.
That's one that blew my mind.
Yeah, that was amazing.
That's not us theorizing. They got transmitters on these bucks, and they could tell you where they go and when. I mean, it's not like they pretty much do. No, it's like this buck went here. He did this for two days. He did that.
They had actual data showing everything.
What blew me away was the moon. It made zero difference in a buck's movement.
As a kid who grew up looking at the moon tables, I mean, I thought they were. I mean, I based my life. I'd look at them and look at them, and he said, and he did too. This one, like he said, I grew up doing the same thing. He said, then we did the research. He said, guys, it's.
Yeah, we fished and zero we fished and hunted off the moon all our life.
Right.
Yeah. And he had no idea.
And he said, now, if it gets you out there and gets you in the woods, then good. You have a better chance of killing deer. He said, but the bucks don't really care.
Yeah.
He said,
I mean, we always thought full moon, go middle of the day. That's when they're going to be moving, you know?
Yeah. He said, sometimes. He said, sometimes they are, sometimes they're not.
That's
he said, it's not based on the, like.
It's not based on the moon phase.
So it's just,
I mean, but, so that was something that. I mean, every magazine you ever looked at, ever read, or every TV show, or whatever you look, it was always moon phases. You know, quarter moon doing this, full moon doing that, da-da-da-da. And in his study, with how many deer was it?
I think that just one year they had 86 bucks, and a total they've had like 390 collared or something like that.
Tagged bucks.
You collar on them with the GPS locator. Like,
and they knew exactly
what
they were doing.
They're not theorizing. They got them plotted. The buck got up here. He moved a quarter mile, laid down here. He got up and did this.
And with that
he had
study,
the data to back it up.
Yeah. That's right. With that study, zero effect on the moon. Now, y'all remember what we just said, zero effect on the moon. So if you want to go hunt in the middle of the day, go hunt in the middle of the day. You're liable to kill one, but it's not going to have anything to do
and
with the moon.
And that's what he said. He said, if that's what gets you out there and gets you in the stand, well, you got a lot better chance killing one on the stand than you do on the couch. But we're saying it's like those kind of guests that are at the expo. It's like not just a, hey, hang your climber in the bottom. You're getting next level stuff, which I appreciate. So, and it's an event where you come out. Also got a lot of vendors, stuff to check out there.
Right. We try to have something for everybody with an outdoor theme.
Yep.
Local vendors, something to do with outdoor.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've had so much trouble. We go to all these big hunting shows, and they're all great. But when you go in there and you're all excited about seeing some taxidermy work and some hunting, what's new in the in our realm of fun, and there's three tanning beds sitting there, you're like, no, this ain't.
Well, you could get in the outdoors and get tan on your own.
Yeah, you don't need a tanning bed. You get out there planting them summer plots.
That's right.
You're not going to let the tanning beds in there?
Nah, it hadn't yet.
So might not come this year.
Yeah, I mean, dead gone.
No, but it's a great event, and we'll talk about it, obviously, as it gets closer. But, y'all plan on that weekend there. You got a Friday, you got a Saturday, you got a Sunday.
Right.
So figure out, one of those 3 days and maybe all the days you come out for it. You mentioned this, and we're going to go to the break here in about 2-3 minutes. We mentioned summer plots. I want to talk our discussion, having somebody who does what you do in here.
Right.
We're going to talk about things you grow. We're going to talk about all these strategies. But let's start off the base of all this, and that's dirt.
The dirt.
Right? I mean, there's whether you got your wintertime plots, summertime plots, dove fields, chufa, anything you're growing, it's based on dirt.
And and you could have 100 different hunters in a room, and they may have a lot of stuff in common, but one thing they don't have in common is the dirt.
Yes.
It's all different. Everything works different for different people.
You know, that frustrates me. This is what I love, because, I mean, y'all go to G&D, and Lee will work with you on this, but so many people go, well, just give me the answer.
There is no blanket answer. You know, correct. One guy's got river bottom, the next guy's sandy, next guy's got red clay. You can grow crops on all of it.
Mm-hmm.
But everything's got to be handled different. You got to work with what you got.
And that's what's good, because people will want, and y'all stop wanting it, but you'll want that blanket. Well, the thing I do, well, the thing you do may be different than your buddy.
Correct.
Or, hey, my buddies are doing such and such and putting that in the soil amendment. Well, they may have different dirt than you do.
You're hunting in Chatham, and your buddy lives in Montgomery.
Yeah.
It's different. Yeah.
So that's the thing to start. So we're going to come back from this, and I want to start that. We're going to build it from the dirt up. We're going to talk about summertime planting and talk about what you, even if you don't summertime plant, what you need to be doing to get ready for September, October, whenever you go ahead and turn ground. We'll do that and continue our conversation. Our guest, Lee Davis, he's with G&D Farms, and we're coming right back on FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. Welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. Sean Sullivan, Mike Ward, and our friend Lee Davis from G&D Farms. And starting with the dirt here, and knowing that every scenario is specific, let's pick out some different things, though, different soil types, things that people come to you every day asking questions. This time of year, what are you talking to people about? Because, I mean, we talked off the air, and this is, hey, I'm guilty of it, too. There's, like, we should get a soil test before we do anything, but it seems like we want to do everything before we get a soil test.
We have a lot of that, but, you know, we say it all the time, but really a soil sample is so easy.
How easy is it? Because people say, I don't have time for that, Lee.
Get a handful of dirt and put it in a bag and bring it to me. Tell me what you're wanting to plant. You know, they'll structure the recommendations to what you're trying to do. You know, we turn in our soil samples for our wheat crop, and we tell them we want to grow a 60-bushel crop, and they'll adjust the fertilizer to meet
those
needs.
So I can bring dirt.
You tell me it's from your front yard
or your deer patch.
From your deer patch, from your cow pasture.
Right.
It's all – everything's sampled to suit that centipede in your yard hates fertilizer.
Yeah.
You know, that's the worst – thing in the world. They want to buy fertilizer to juice their yard up, and then I'm like, no, don't do that.
Right. but they figured because some other things need fertilizer, then they should do it here. But also, you know, on that soil, different, like, and we're talking about fertilizer, we'll get there, but different soils need different things and may need more. The numbers might change.
Right.
Your buddy might be running, you know, a certain numbers on fertilizer. It's because his soil needs more of this, but less of that, and more.
And he
of this
may be
thing.
Planting a different
crop.
Different crop.
So it's that specific too. It's not just your dirt; it's what you're going to plant in
that
dirt.
You got three basic nutrients: nitrogen, phosphorus, and potash. And what you plant and the kind of dirt you're planting in tells you what you need of all three of them.
Okay, and we're going to get to that because we're going to go in depth on fertilizer. But before we do that, though, let's talk about getting that soil being ready to accept fertilizer.
Right.
And that is about pH, right?
The pH.
We learned that in chemistry class or whatever. It's supposed to be, what, neutral is 7?
6.5 is what you're looking for, yeah.
So why do we care about that?
Because that affects what your plant is able to get from the fertilizer that you put out there.
No, but I put the fertilizer down there.
It doesn't matter.
The fertilizer is there, Lee.
It's there, but it's not usable.
And that's the thing that I had to 100%. Learn 25 years ago. But, I mean, it's like y'all go, we'll just put more fertilizer on it. It doesn't care.
No, it doesn't work. Until your pH is right. I used to have the numbers in front of me, and I forgot them because I'm getting old. But when you get down from a 6.5 to a 5.5, you lose about 40% of your fertilizer use.
Y'all think about that for a second.
40% of the fertilizer you threw out there was wasted.
Here's the other problem, too. They all want to do this in September and October, don't they?
Yeah, it doesn't work.
Yeah. Okay, tell us why.
And then they fuss at me because it doesn't look like a picture.
Tell us why.
Your lime takes a long period of time.
Four to six months?
The dolomite lime that we use in ag, which is what we carry, will start affecting the pH in 3 to 4 weeks, which is a month. But your full use of it, you're looking at 3, 4, 5 months, depending on the type of ground. Yep. Some ground will change, you know, if it's sweeter, it'll change quicker. But you're looking at 5, 6 months to get the full use of that lime that you're putting out on that plot.
But I do want to make my argument we did off the air. And, the best thing to do is be in front, 6 months out from it. And you know me, I was a little bit late this year, so April, but I try to lime early. But if somebody, I have buddies who said it to me, they said, well, heck, it's not going to do anything for 6 months. We're not going to do it. It's already September or it's already August or whatever. But are y'all going to still hunt there next year? Yes.
Yeah.
If you can do it.
There's no wrong time to do it.
Right. I mean, because unless you're hunting a place for just 1 year, but if you're going to hunt that place, that change you're talking about in pH is going to happen and continue.
Yeah, it's going to be there to help you for next crop.
Yeah.
Whether you're going to, you may not get the full value out of it on your fall plot, but your spring plot is going to be ready to go.
Yeah.
So how long does that last?
Depends on the soil type.
But typically,
once you, what we say, especially in the farming community, once you get a piece of ground right, you can get 2 years.
Okay.
You're at least 2 years before needing to do something else.
Mm-hmm.
But now with deer crop, you're not.
You don't pull as much out
of the ground.
Yeah.
So you get you got good dirt and you got a good food plot, you're liable to go 3 or 4 years before you need to put lime.
Yeah.
And I want to talk about that. You mentioned, ag lime, dolomite lime. There's other limes out there. Mike even mentioned during the break the liquid lime.
Correct.
People are like, there's all these different limes. Talk to me why ag lime, I mean, other than the fact y'all can look at the fact that what the farmers who try to make a living farming, what they're running ag lime. Why ag lime versus these others?
The breakdown of it, it's pure lime. It's in a pure form. If these off-brand, I want to say off-brand, but the lime that's been used for something else, your paper mills, your stuff like that, they use that lime to scrub the air. They're using that as a cleaner. Well, the lime's grabbing that cleaner.
That's in it.
The lime's grabbing whatever they're trying to get out of the facility. And so,
you're putting that on your field.
You're throwing that out there in the field.
And that's actually part of the weight of what you're buying.
Correct.
Now, the liquid lime thing, it was real interesting, too.
Yeah.
You know, we're talking about liquid lime. People put liquid lime. But you said if you do use it, the application may be a little different.
It's more of a foliar feed. You're affecting the plant. It does a great job. But it's best used in the situation where you're not able to get a buggy in there.
Mm-hmm.
You're not able to put that full ton or ton and a half.
You got this little patch way back in the woods down at Logan Trail.
And it works good because that's basically the only thing you got. You can throw a four-wheeler sprayer on there and run lime it. You may have to do it two or three times in the growing season to really get it a good effect. But
it solves the problem.
It does. It does. It's a great part of the plan, part of the project.
Now, when we do soil tests, like you said, we got a wide range of soils, different parts of our state. Down here where we are, there are exceptions, but you're going to probably be acid soil. I mean, that's just
all day.
The nature of it. Let's say we had a 5.5, and I know dirt's different, but we had a sandy loam soil. It's at 5.5. We're trying to get it to 6.5. What are we looking at tonnage-wise? I know everything's generalized, but
in most average dirt that we down here, you're looking at a ton to the acre.
Okay. That's what people need. A way to get on your mapping, look at what your field size is, and start figuring out.
And if you've got the capabilities of taking a buggy in there and spreading it, it's so much cheaper and so much easier and so mm-hmm. much faster. The people that don't have that capability, I tell them, put 500 pounds out now. Come back in a couple of months when your back feels better and you got a couple extra minutes, go yep. throw another 500 pounds. You'll yep. eventually get it done.
Mm-hmm. You're talking about buying it by bag.
Bagged, yeah. Okay, you have yes. to go in bags. It's so much more expensive. You're way yeah. better off doing it bulk. But, I mean, I'm realistic. A lot of people can't do yeah, that. Yeah. You know, they don't have a one-ton truck to haul a four-ton buggy up to the hunting camp.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we try to have it set up to where you can do it any way you need to do it, help you do it, and the main thing is, at least it's getting done.
Yes. And that's that's what I want to get to. This idea of, like, well, it's not the right time. I don't have the
No.
You're never going to get it done if you don't do it when you can.
You're never going to be able to hit the perfect time.
Right.
But there's never a wrong time. And I've got a crazy saying, and people laugh at me when I say it, but it took years to screw that dirt up.
Yeah.
It's going to take years to fix it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, don't try to
Everybody wants a quick fix.
We get soil samples that'll have recommendations for four tons to the acre.
Man. Wow.
And I'll tell people, no, don't do that. Put a ton now. Come back in the spring. Put another ton. We'll resample it. Look at it then. You know,
you see what you did.
Your grandpa ain't limed it in 45 years.
Yeah.
Don't think we can go out there and fix it in a week.
Yeah.
Well, and the
makes sense.
And we somehow seem to be able to get around to put patches in every year, you know? So, I mean, you could do the same thing. Like, yeah. well, you do it every, you know, just like that, just like you plant. You lime one time of the year, and then you plant the other time of year. Eventually, you'll catch up with it.
Yeah, and we can, you know, we have the capabilities of sending 18-wheelers to your house and let you spread it, or you can come get a buggy and spread it, put a couple tons in there, and go do your yard or your garden plot. We do a lot of that. People have come get a buggy and lime their garden, and if they got a little extra, they'll run around the house but there's so many different ways to do it. There's really no excuse not to get it done.
Right, because when we come back to the break, we're going to talk fertilizer, okay? And that's gets a lot of attention. But like you said, the difference between 6.5 and 5.5, you have how much fertilizer?
You're losing about 40%. And if you stop and think about it,
yes.
Your fertilizer, other than your seed, is the most expensive per pound that you're putting out there.
Right.
Yep. The seed, you're only putting 50 to 75 pounds per acre. Fertilizer, you're putting 300 pounds per acre.
Yep. And when you're losing almost half of that,
you just throwed a lot of money away.
That's right.
Yeah.
To save $12 on a soil sample.
Yeah.
I mean, lime's $85 a ton. Fertilizer is $800.
So, I mean, there you go. That's the best.
It's not hard to figure out.
No. Pretty simple.
Because what... Number one, you're wasting. Number two, you get that soil right, you can use less fertilizer.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, Lee's kind of shooting himself in the foot here.
I'm good at that.
But seriously, you use less fertilizer when you have a better pH.
Yeah. I mean, the way of my thinking of tending to a farmer, their mentality, they're more of a conservationist and an environmentalist than anybody, because they're trying to put what's going to be used. They can't afford to go put too much fertilizer out there and let it run down the road.
Yeah, absolutely. And let it get used. If you're going to pay for it, let it get used.
We take that same approach on deer hunting.
Okay, coming right back. More of our education. It is Lee Davis with G&D Farms right here on FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. Welcome back, FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. Glad to have you along at Education on Soil. And then we'll start growing some stuff on the soil here in a second. But Lee Davis from G&D Farms. And I think this is important, too. You talk about that wasted amount when you don't have the pH right. People might have fertilizer that hadn't gotten used because of the low pH.
It's still sitting there in the ground.
So if you lime it, it becomes active.
It becomes available to the plant. Correct.
So y'all
think
about
that. I was just telling y'all in the break. We've had clubs that we have actually talked them into taking what limited funds in a club. You got limited funds, and everybody's been there. spend your money on lime 1 year and don't fertilize the crop. Let the crop use the fertilizer that you've been putting out there for 15 years without liming.
And, I mean, it's just something, you know, whether you want to go into the chemistry of it, y'all look it up on Google or not, but that fertilizer's sitting there, but the plant can't get it.
Cannot get it.
Yeah.
But you bring the
nitrogen is your most leachable product, but your phosphorus and your potash, depending on your ground, will last for a long time.
And so it's, y'all picture this. I mean, it's sitting there. You paid for it. It's in the ground.
And the plant can't use it.
You're kind of almost like you're releasing. I mean, I don't know if that's the right word, but you're kind of releasing that fertilizer that's correct. Right now locked up.
Correct.
All right. That transitions us into.
Your plant tastes better.
Yeah.
Your animals are wanting it more. You know, there's a reason your next door neighbor. They go to his plot and not yours.
And people have seen that. Or they, you know, they go across. Hey, man, they're always going over to so-and-so's. Or I bet you all take soil samples. You know, the old homestead patch always got the deer in it. None of them get over here on Hilltop or whatever right. it's called. I bet you do a soil sample. It's you see they're different dirt. Different and one's dirt. Got, you know, a higher pH.
Yep, different okay. dirt.
Now that we did all that to get it ready, let's talk fertilizer. I don't know how many bags of Triple 13 are sold between August and October every year in state of Alabama, but it's probably a bunch.
It's piles. You would be surprised.
But you got me going. I was at a ton of clubs for years. I mean, it was just pallets of Triple 13 and slinging it. But you got me years ago going to Triple 17.
Correct.
And I was like, why? I mean, I just Triple 13, it's only four different.
Yeah.
Well, why do that?
Triple 17 and Triple 13 is exactly the same thing other than the amount of nutrients that's in it. Your nitrogen is a certain strength, your phosphorus is a certain strength, and your potash is a certain strength. Well, in order to blend those together, you have to put filler in them.
So, in a way, I'm lifting more weight.
Correct.
Over my shoulder and poured it into a hopper nutrients. To get... less effect.
We ain't got time, but you can put a pistol to it. You can put four bags of 17 and get more fertilizer out there than you would with five or six bags of 13.
And you don't have to lift two of them up and cut them open, pour them in the hopper.
And the stuff that you're putting in the hopper is actually being used. It's yes. not filler.
So what about Triple 21? What's the difference between Triple 13, Triple 17, Triple 31?
You just adjust the amounts of what you're putting in there.
Okay, just the amount of filler.
Your nitrogen is 34. Your phosphorus, which is your center number, is 46. And there's two different kinds of phosphoruses. One's called triple superphosphate. One's called DAP, which is diammonium phosphate.
I didn't know that. What's the difference in those?
The diammonium phosphate has nitrogen in it, and it's an 18460, whereas triple superphosphate has no nitrogen, it's O46O.
Okay.
So when we blend, we keep DAP because it has the nitrogen in it too. And so we change our formulas because we're using DAP instead of triple superphosphate.
So and why
potash is O060.
So why would somebody buy triple 13 over triple 17, or even by triple 17 over triple 21? Why?
Triple 21 is not a very available in bags. A lot of your bagging companies doesn't. They want to sell the lower, so it's hard to get that.
Okay.
Triple 17, triple 19 is fairly available.
Yeah,
but triple 17 seems to be the go-to. That's what everybody bags, and on the blending part of it with bulk, we can blend anything because we have the pure ingredients, whereas the bags, we're limited to what the manufacturer's bagging at the time.
Yeah, okay. And this is a good thing because I get bulk fertilizer from G&D. I'll do that. And depending on what you were saying earlier, it starts with that soil sample. Now we've limed. You can tell us what because we may not need all numbers to be the
correct.
Same. I mean, you
correct.
Can do triple 17, probably not going to hurt it, but you may need more N than you do P or K
correct.
Or more K than P and N, you know.
Right. Correct. One of the biggest issues we have is yards. We do a lot of yards. Well, grass, like a yard grass, is not a user of phosphorus. They don't corn. We just put as much phosphorus out there as we can.
Yeah.
Well, grass does not. So the best fertilizer we have available for grass for your yards around your house is a 15-0-15, which has no phosphorus because your grass doesn't need it.
You'd be wasting money on that.
And yeah, I mean, probably it doesn't need it.
So, I mean, this is, and it takes some studying, because when all you've ever known is triple 13, to hear you talk about it.
That was what Daddy and Grandpa, and that's what everybody used, and that's what kind of stuck in their head. And don't get me wrong, we sell a lot of triple 13, and that's still a lot of people want it, so we got it available. But
I just like the idea of that customizing y'all do,
right?
Where I'm not wasting anything.
A lot of people that really get down to the, I can't say what I was going to say, but to the particulars of it, we keep bagged straight DAP, straight potash, straight ammonia, because we have a lot of people that are diehard that want that plot perfect.
Yeah.
And they'll run their soil samples, and it'll call for 62 pounds of potash or 80 pounds of this, and they'll get it individual bags and blend it theirself because it's on such a small scale.
Right.
They can do it with the small bags and have it dead on the money with their soil sample.
And perfectly dialed it. You know, you mentioned it too. I think about ammonium nitrate, or all in, you know, and that has a value. I mean, for years, millet fields and stuff I'd used it for before. Like, even if you fertilized right, how would you, I mean, describe how you use that. Say you got a millet field, you want to, I mean, it just kicks it into, I don't know the right term. It just seems to make it jump.
It does. The nitrogen really gives it that hard jump. It's not available. It doesn't last very long, not like a phosphorus or a potash. The nitrogen goes directly to the plant. It's quick. It's fast growth.
And you're talking about that for deer plots, too, that, like, and Mike always talks about doing it in December or something. Yeah, you know, you plant it in October, come back in.
You come back because that plant's running out of that nitrogen. Your deer's fixing to start rutting. They're going to be needing more energy. And your food plot, you got to think of it's just like your supper plate. That's what you're feeding the deer with. And the difference between a plot that's well managed and a plot that you just throw something out there and cross your fingers.
Yeah.
To that deer, that's eating saltine crackers or T-bones.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're right.
And that when you start looking at it in a simplistic term like that, now you know why your buddy that pays all the attention, why they're going over and eating his plot.
Eating his T-bones.
They're eating T-bones over there. Exactly. Yep.
And so that's something, I mean, even if you did, let's say you did a right mixture when you planted, right? You got your mix, you got your fertilizer right. It's not a bad idea to have that ammonium nitrate, that nitrogen ready, like Mike likes, in December or something to come back in.
That's a lot of your deer hunters.
You just top dress it before rain, right?
That's right. Throw 100, 150 pounds out there. It gives it that last hurrah before the end of hunting season. Makes them come to them plots harder.
And I think that's, you know, and it's something, y'all, if you go ahead and just get it when you get your other stuff, keep it in the dark, you know, keep it in a barn or something like that, have it ready or get it
off. As long as it stays dry, you're good.
Would you put ammonium nitrate on it to start with? Absolutely,
because that's what's going to give you that growth to
get
it out of the ground.
So you start out, I mean, put your fertilizer out, but put some ammonium nitrate out too.
Well, just your fertilizer. There's enough in your blended fertilizer to get that plant up.
It just uses it up faster than the P and the K.
Right.
Right.
So that's
the reason you come back with straight nitrogen in the on up in the year.
Because because there's no reason to put more P and K on there. You got that right. It hadn't eaten through that.
The plant's not needing that.
Yeah.
Okay. So now as we wrap, we go to break here in a second, but now we've fertilized. Let's talk about seed blends. I mean, we could talk 10 days on this.
Right.
But is that as particular, too, about area? And, you know, we talked about this. What limens needed, what fertilizers needed is dependent on different soils in different places. What about what we put in the ground seed-wise?
There is a big difference, but the seed companies that are out there that specialize in deer have got it down to a science now.
When I buy from WMS, I buy an Alabama blend.
Right. And them boys are from Alabama.
Yeah, Utah area.
They know what works. They've researched it. They're a wealth of knowledge.
So, everything does get specific, though. The lime, the fertilizer and certain seeds
right.
are going to be better.
Yes, absolutely.
Different dirt. Different
like Lespedeesia. This mm-hmm. is not in the deer world, but Lespedeesia is huge for hay.
Mm-hmm.
Down here, it ain't worth a flip because it's too hot.
Yeah.
You can get Lespedeesia to come up about 3 inches, and then it's just going to melt in one of these good hot summer days.
And that's the problem, too. People, you know, watch a TV show and something, and they're in Missouri or Illinois, and they're growing, you know, we got the such and such, you know, we're right. planting this, and you're looking at this giant 160, 170-inch deer just eating it.
Different world.
Yeah.
But you go, I want to plant that so we can.
Yeah. Sounds good.
So that, well, when we come back, let's talk about the Alabama blend and what they actually use in
right.
that.
Okay. Coming right back. More of FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. Our guest, Lee Davis from G&D Farms. Welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. Sean Sullivan, Mike Ward, our guest Lee Davis from G&D Farms. And now we've moved up through the dirt. We're putting seed in there. Mike, you were asking about Alabama blend.
Yeah, Alabama blend. What is Alabama blend? Where does it come from? And what's in it?
Alabama blend is made by WMS, which is Wildlife Management Solutions. It's Daniel Baumgartner up in Utah, Alabama. They are, they've been in the seed business 10, 15 years, and they were just like us. They were outdoor enthusiasts that wanted something better. They've done the research. They've found what grows good in our area. Whether it's the Brassica blend that's in the WMS, of course you've got your wheat, your oats, and your normal stuff that we're used to planting.
Yeah.
But it's also got the peas that are going to produce the protein.
Australian winter peas,
right,
I guess.
They've got the winter peas. They've got the mung beans. They're looking at not only what are the deer wanting, but growing a crop is going to produce tonnage for those deer. And we don't think of it in tonnage when you're planting a food plot. But the more that produces, the more they're able to eat.
Right.
The
and
more
don't
that's
eat it
available.
Completely down.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know, like your iron and clay. I love iron and clay. Deer love them. But if they find them too quick and mow them to the ground, you're done.
Right.
If you don't have something else in that crop to give them to eat before that iron and clay pea gets up enough to sustain itself, they'll mow it to the ground, and it's not coming back.
Yeah. Yeah. I kind of like soybeans.
Yeah.
Same thing. They'll eat it to the ground. It
right.
won't grow
and
anything.
That's the reason they've started developing these bush beans that,
right.
that'll come back, your eagles and your booners.
Yeah, and what, you know, it's always this number of acres you got to plant. Let's say you've got a forage bean, not just, you know, something that's going to grow more forage and not so much with the bean. I've heard 5 acres, I've heard 10 acres, but I guess that's also dependent on where are you, how many deer you got.
It's all relevant to your location. How many acres have you got under your control? You know, where are you hunting? Who's hunting beside you?
Yeah. And
how many deer you have?
How many deer you got?
That's
Do you
saying,
have
how,
too many? Or are they not enough?
Like if you had, like, is everybody's going to be different, because also the deer you have during the wintertime, you may have more or less deer in the summertime. They move some.
Right.
Is it 10 acres? You know, I don't know. I know that's a hard question because it depends on the mouse. I mean, if you didn't have a bunch of deer, you'd probably do a 5-acre soybean plot and it would start making.
Right. It's all relevant. I mean, we
at my place, they'd be gone by midnight. But
exactly. Like I say, we've got farm ground that we don't farm in the summer because the deer just annihilate it. Whatever you put out there, they're going to eat it. We plant wheat in the wintertime, and the wheat can outgrow the deer, and they're not after it real hard. So we're able to get a good wheat crop out of it, but we don't put beans out there because the deer will just demolish them.
So
but you can put corn out there. That would work, or peanuts would work.
Correct.
But you
correct.
Can't plant your soybeans, yeah.
The and there's so many new things, too, for summertime planting. I mean, you talk about iron and clay and beans and all that. I bought some this year I'm experimenting some joint vetch from you.
Right.
This year.
Right.
That's, trying that. And that's one that
one.
It takes its time to get going. But at that point, if you plant at the right time, it's almost like they didn't notice it fast enough that they got ahead.
Right.
And once it's ahead,
you mix something else in there with it to give them something to eat while the vetch is getting established.
And then it can, then it seems like it can take it unless something changes over the weekend.
It produces a high quality, high protein, well, you know, very nutritious crop.
And it doesn't have to have all the sun of other crops. I mean, if y'all, you know, because I mean, it's I've been
a
in clubs.
Plant.
Yeah, I've been in clubs my whole life, and we got a 3/4 acre patch here, 1.4 acre over here. You know, we don't have these giant patches, but that vetch, if it can get up, it can do that. It doesn't have to have all the you know, 80 acres of full sun and all that others do.
You're in the woods.
Yeah,
which where you want your plot.
Yeah.
You're not going to get that full sun all the time, so you have to take that into effect.
And that's, I just thought that was a neat.
Grows good.
Right, correct.
That way, okay.
I mean, and this is my first year, so I'm just experimenting. I know you've been doing it a while. What I noticed, and this is just on my ground, but I read up, it wasn't different than other people's experience. It takes it a second to get going. It's not like, yeah, it's not like the wheat seed in the back of your truck that's growing by the time you get home from G&D.
Before you get it planted.
Yeah. It takes it, but once it gets up, then they can nip it, and it branch. It can take the lick.
It produces a good quality crop for your wildlife.
And that's one that I think if we'd have rolled back 10 years, I'm sure there were some biologists who knew about it, but most of us that hunt, I'd have never heard of joint vetch. What the heck are you talking about?
Is that a summer or?
For me,
it's a summer plot.
Summer, okay.
Now, everything I read on it, though, it said.
Now, there is a lot of vetches you could plant in the winter.
Mm.
And some of it's in some of these blends of seed.
Okay.
But the joint vetch is for summer.
Now, everything I read on it after doing this, it's going to be a pretty good frost before it gets killed back. Depends on the year anymore and how the weather does, but that means I could be hunting it all during bow season.
Yes.
You know, it's still producing during bow season.
Yes.
Yeah. So it's a summer patch, but I'm hunting it in October.
Yeah.
Really shouldn't until I get a good freeze.
Well, and that's another good thing we love about WMS's products. They have stuff in there. 90% of your hunters, when they leave at the end of hunting season, they're done.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the WMS products has enough stuff in there that's going to head out, and you had a great food plot for your deer all year, all during hunting season. Now you're feeding the turkeys, the quail.
Yep.
You got all that seed head of still in the field that dies out, and you're feeding everything else now.
100%. I mean, it's the good thing because you think, well, I'm done hunting. But you're going to hunt next year, right?
Yeah, you're coming
back. You want your critters to be good, unless it's a one-time hunt. It's like we talked about everything from liming on through. Things you're doing this year, doing today, are going to pay dividends down the road.
Down the road.
Let's talk about somebody who wants been listening to us. They're starting at zero here. Soil sample.
Absolutely.
Walk us through the process. Somebody listen to us today.
First thing I would do, definitely.
How much do they go to? I'm going to the old standby patch. I'm going to get you how much dirt.
Go out there, and if it's not a huge field, if it's an acre.
Mm-hmm. Okay,
the easiest thing to do is take your spade, your shovel, whatever you got, go out there, dig a hole here, there, and yonder, get you a collective sample, because that one-acre field is going to be the same stuff.
Yeah.
Get you a double handful. We can give you the sample bags before you go get it. It's got a line on there that tells you where to put it. And you just send it off, tell them what you're wanting to do. They send you the paperwork, easy to read. I'll be glad to go over it with you. And there you go.
Get started. They want to get in contact with you. How do they do it?
G&D Farms, gndfarms.com. Call us. Get me or Starla or any of the girls there. Everybody's real knowledgeable. And we'd be glad to help whatever we can do.
Always good to see you. Yep, always good to see you, Lee.
Thank you, man. Appreciate y'all having me.